And the last chapter, chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware. Now that seems to be a strange word for the Apostle Paul or anyone to use in speaking to Christian people. While we have eternal life in Jesus Christ, we've been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, we have been ordained to be heirs of salvation and for eternal glory. And having this sovereign, omnipotent God as our Heavenly Father, having Christ as our great High Priest, having the indwelling Holy Spirit as our guide and teacher, what is there to be concerned about? Well, forgive the Apostle Peter, if you would. And I remind you only that he's writing by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And that what he is saying here is what all of us in all ages and all Christians need to hear. Beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked one. I put the word one there because that's what it is referring to, the wicked one. Fall from your own steadfastness. Now, we do not believe, and the Bible does not teach, that a child of God can lose their salvation. We do believe that everyone that have been regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God. You note that I identified and qualified that everyone that has been regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God, that they are given eternal life, that they are kept by the power of God, and that they shall ultimately, by God's grace and God's mercy, be presented in eternal glory before the throne of God without spot and without error. That's what Jude says to us in Jude, the 24th verses, unto him that's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Unto him that is able to keep you from falling. That certainly is true. We do not deny that or doubt that. But rather, our Christian experience will prove that and manifest it. What do you mean? Well, because we will manifest and we will show in our own conduct that we need the Lord to keep us. Because we all will fall from our own steadfastness. We all will be led astray by the error of the wicked one in some way or another. Now, I believe I'm speaking to a congregation of people that are very sincere about your Christian life and that you love the Lord and you don't want to do that. But here, the admonition of the Apostle Peter, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever, and amen. I want to speak to us on the subject of the kingdom of darkness. I'm taking that title, or that name, to include all of the kingdom of darkness. By that I mean Satan, fallen angels, demons, and the Antichrist. I will not deal with them individually, but will tell you that there is a kingdom of darkness. In the book of Colossians, the first chapter, Paul speaking about what Christ has done for us, he says he hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. The kingdom has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness, the power of darkness. Meaning the kingdom of darkness. We all by nature, all of us by nature, are born into the kingdom of darkness. All of the descendants of Adam, since the days of the Garden of Eden, have been born by nature into the kingdom of darkness. By that we have a nature that is depraved, that is sinful, that is carnal, that is at enmity with God, that is not subject to the law of God, and the buyer in that nature itself cannot be brought into subjection to the kingdom of God except by the power of God. That's the reason why there is a necessity of being regenerated. Because this enmity, this old nature, depraved nature, that we are wars against the things of God. And apart from the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God, apart from the regenerating work of the Spirit of God, this depraved nature that we have, that we are born with, and that we will die with, that depraved nature cannot and is not subject to the law of God. Now, having been regenerated, there is a superior nature given to us. It is the nature of God Himself. It is eternal life. It is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. Those two are constantly in conflict with each other. And that is what Peter is saying to us, that we need to be aware of. Now, a lot of people just go through life totally, as Christians, totally seemingly like ignoring the warnings of God. There are many warnings set forth in the Word of God about how we as Christians should live. There are admonitions, there are instructions given to us. Now, we like to hear sermons that really get on to the sinner and telling the sinner that you are living a wicked, sinful life, your drunkenness, your immorality reaps to you nothing more but God's eternal judgment, and unless you repent, you're going to spend eternity in hell. But we are not very comfortable with the admonitions in the Word of God, and we don't like to heed them and hear them that tell us as God's children, God's people, how we are to live. Well, my friend, I'll tell you that most of the New Testament is written to Christian people instructing us and exhorting us how we are to live. This is God's manual. This is God's instruction book given to the saints of God. It is primarily written to the people of God, telling us how we are to live in this wicked world. In the book of Ephesians, the 6th chapter, Paul speaks to us about the conflict that we are part of. Now, you may not be aware of it. You may not want to be involved in it, but we are. Chapter 6 of Ephesians, in verse 12, he says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in the air." Well, that means in the high places, in the heavenlies, or in the atmosphere, or in the universe. We wrestle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now, I do not deny that Satan uses human instrumentality, and we'll look at that in a minute, but there is a spirit and a power that moves people that are unregenerate and even influences Christian people. But we wrestle against principalities and against the powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness. Second chapter of Ephesians, Paul tells us about how that we all were by nature prior to our being regenerated, and you have been quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. There is a being called Satan. Oh, he's not like you think he is, running around with a red suit and horns and a pitchfork and a tail. That's not who Satan is. And you may have met him this week. He may have manifested himself to you in some way or another, but I assure you, he didn't look like that. Halloween is past, and so I don't think that you've met anyone on the street exactly like that this past week. But we are told in the Word of God how it is that Satan will indeed and how he conducts himself. The Word of God tells us that Satan masquerades himself as an angel of light. In 2 Corinthians, Paul tells us that Satan conducts himself and transforms himself. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul says, "For there were false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." He is masquerading himself. The word transform is masquerading himself as an angel of light. And I might add the word beauty to it. External beauty. Who is Satan? Well, I don't want to spend a lot of time this morning talking to you about who Satan is, except to tell you that according to what I understand the Bible to teach and what the Word of God set forth, that first of all, he is a created angel. Now, I emphasize the word created because it is to be understood, and we need to understand that he has been created by God, not as a devil, but as an angel of light. Now, in the book of Colossians chapter 1, we have Paul telling us about the preeminence of Christ. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, reading about Christ, who is the image, the very expressed image of the invisible God, the firstborn. That means the firstborn, he has superiority of every creature, for by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities and powers. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. The preeminence of Christ. All things in this universe, all things that exist prior or after God, have come into existence by the creative act of God, and thereby they are subject unto God, even Satan. Now, as I said, according to Ezekiel, the 38th chapter, 28th chapter, rather, seeming like, as we read there, that Satan was a created angel, cherub, with great glory and great power. Now, I'm not going to get into a long discussion about all about his rebellion or when it took place. That's not important to this morning hour. I've said some things to you already about that. Just to simply to point out that there was a rebellion, I believe, in days past in heaven, wherein that Satan rebelled against God and manifested the very heart of sin, which was, "I will be like the Most High God." He desired to exalt himself to be God. Now, that is the very heart of all sin. Sin is rebellion against God. And it is the very characteristic of sin that we want to exalt self above God. We become gods yourself. And so Satan said to Adam and Eve in the garden that if you do this, you will be as gods. And so Eve partook of the fruit with that temptation and with that end that she might be even as a god. And that's the intent of Satan. I will be exalted. I will be worshipped. I will be God. And in that, he led a third of the angels in rebellion. These are non-elect angels. The Bible speaks about the elect angels. These are non-elect angels. And Peter tells us that they are bound in chains of darkness to the day of judgment. And in that group, there is also demons. Now, there are people who do not believe in demons, or they think that maybe was something for days past, in the days of Jesus Christ, and that demons existed then, but, among more educated people today, we realize that demons are non-existent. That's just fairy tales, and that's just folklore. Well, not so, my friend. I wish it were true, but that's exactly what Paul was talking about there in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, when he talks about the principalities and powers of the air that we wrestle against, because the host of hell, the kingdom of darkness, is functioning by Satan and by his demons to accomplish the design and intent of Satan in the world and in the life of God's people. And that purpose and that program is to try and defeat God, to try to exalt himself to be worshipped as God, and to destroy everything that is godly in the world today. Satan is working to destroy human beings because we are made in the image of God. And so he, in the garden, he defiled man's creation by sin and getting enticing Eve and Adam to sin, and therefore they became depraved. And it is only by the grace of God that we're delivered from the curse of sin and from eternal judgment in hell. And were it not for the death of Christ, who is the second Adam, for our sins, we would all creation, all human nature, all human beings would be cast into hell for eternal torment, which was designed for Satan and his angels. But because of God's grace and mercy, who is indeed the all-wise one, and whose grace and whose plan is superior to Satan's designs, God saves His people from eternal damnation. Now that's a very brief summary about what's going on in the world today. But that's Satan's intent. And so he seeks to destroy all human beings. All human beings. And you watch the conduct and behavior of human beings, whether we're talking about drugs, whether we're talking about alcoholism, whatever it is that people are involved in, sin always leads to destruction. The wages of sin is death. And so sin always brings about individual personal destruction, destruction of individual's test of life, character, destruction of individual's health, destruction of individual's homes. He is a home wrecker, and he ruins the life, and he is seeking to destroy our country even. And he's been very successful, I believe, in bringing about the downfall of many of the principles of our nation that which we were established upon. I was just thinking this morning about this very thought. I doubt that the present Congress, the new Congress that's going to take over in 2009, and I doubt even among the present congressmen that we have in Congress, including the present-day president and the future president, I doubt very few of them, now listen, I doubt that very few of them would sign the Declaration of Independence. If we could, you know, transport ourselves back to 1776, I doubt that the present congressmen, the politicians that we have in Washington, D.C., I doubt that we could get them to sign the Declaration of Independence. You know why? Because when those men signed the Declaration of Independence, there were some principles involved that they held to be sacred, and by those principles, they were willing to lose their life and all their wealth. That doesn't sound like our present-day politicians. Present-day politicians are interested only in making wealth and trying to get rich and doing it at the expense of jeopardizing our country and our nation. And that's the reason why our economy is in the shambles that it is in today. It's not because of God's of working people. It's not the working class of people that's caused our economy to collapse. Mark it down. It is because of the politicians of our nation. You want to say, well, it's them old rich people, the CEOs. Well, the reason why that they are doing what they've done and been allowed to do what they're doing is because they keep stuffing money in the back pockets of the politicians. And that's what's going on, and you don't get all that from even Fox News. But that's what's happened. So you couldn't find politicians today that would sign the Declaration of Independence. That's where we are. That's because of the working of the kingdom of darkness. Now, Satan is a created being, then. He has much power. He's very wise. He's not all wise, but he's very wise and cunning and crafty. He is called the God of this world. Our Lord, speaking in the 16th chapter of the Gospel of John, said that called him the prince of this world. Paul, in writing in Corinthians, says that he is the god of this world. And that is, that's who the world worships. That's what the world follows after. That's the religion. Our world is not an our religion, not non-religion. We have a religion. The world is religious. Wherever you go in the world, everyone has some kind of religion. But there's only one kind of religion that is biblical religion and that is true religion. That's the worship of Jesus Christ. Everything else is anti-God, anti-Christ. There's only one kind of religion, and that is the true religion set forth in the Word of God. Christ said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. There is only one true and living God, only one true and living Savior, only one true truth. And so it is that there is only one true religion. But there are many religions in the world that are satanic and that have Satan as their motivator. And so he's the god of this world. He's also the chief of all the demons. You remember when the Lord was casting out devils? That they said he did this by the power of Beelzebub. Well, that's the name that's given to the chief, the supreme of all the demons. That's Beelzebub. That's Satan. He's also called Lucifer. He's called also that old serpent. He's also called by the Lord a liar and a murderer. He is the prince of the power of the air. That does not mean that that's where he is restricted to, but that's rather talking about the fact that he is the prince of power of the spiritual powers in the world. Now, Satan's program, what is it? Well, I've already mentioned to you that he desires to be exalted and to be worshipped. You remember that when our Lord Himself was there led out in the wilderness, that Satan came to Him and tried to tempt Him, said, if you will just bow down to Me, I'll give to you the kingdoms of this world. Well, first of all, the kings of the world did not belong to Satan, but that's according to his lies. He's always trying to entice people to do things for him, and I will give you this. Well, he has nothing to give except sorrow and grief and pain. But so he comes to young people. He comes to men, young men, young women. He comes to people and say, if you do this, I'll give you this pleasure. I'll make you famous. I'll give you this. I'll give you that. Well, just look at the lives of those who have spent their lives living for the devil. Even if they ever did get rich, they left it all behind. Where are they now? Well, the Bible says the rich man was in hell. Now, that doesn't mean that all rich people are going to hell, but that tells you also that rich people do go to hell. Salvation is not by works, not by money, cannot be bought, cannot be earned. It is by the grace of God. And so regardless of how rich we may become, how famous we may become, if we know not Christ, eternal hell is our destiny. And so look at the lives of those who have spent their lives living for the devil. The other day we were down in Columbus, and we were looking at some things in the museum down there, and I saw an individual who was standing and looking at the life, a picture of a certain individual. I'll not call the name of that individual, but it was a person who's now dead, whose life was one of living a life of sin. All at one time, that person was very famous, and still today, people think, well, that person is a very successful entertainer and world acclaimed. But that person died. It's not very pleasant to think about this, but that person died vomiting, drowning in their own vomit because of drugs. You see, sin will cost you more than you plan to pay and will take you farther than you ever plan to go. And that's the devil. So his intent and his design is to bring about the destruction, the defeat of God, and to hinder the work of God. In the book of Daniel, the 10th chapter, there's a very interesting insight about some things that happened. In the 10th chapter of Daniel, Daniel was in Babylonian captivity, and the angel Gabriel has come to Daniel to tell him some things, but he tells him, the 10th chapter of Daniel, he tells him that before he came, he says in the 13th verse of the 10th chapter, he says unto him that indeed, that as he was coming, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 121 days. Man, that's a long time for there to be a delay in this. Withstood me 21 days? Yes, that's exactly what happened. Well, who is the prince of the kingdom of Persia? It's one of the demonic beings, one of the spirit beings. In Zechariah chapter 3, there's also something we're told. We read, and he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. Now, all the way from the Garden of Eden, all the way through the history of time, that has been the program of Satan, to oppose God, to resist the godly, and to bring about their destruction. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul says, I would have come unto you, but Satan hindered me. Now, I often think about that. How was it that Satan hindered Paul? I don't know. You know, here's the apostle. He wants to come to the church of Thessalonica, which he was a godly man. He was one of the apostles. And he didn't want to come to do them harm. He was coming to them to teach them. And here are some saints of God. But Satan was allowed by God to hinder his coming. I wonder how it happened. I don't know. Maybe the finances was not there. Paul was a poor man. You remember he had to make tents himself to supply his own needs as a preacher. Maybe he couldn't get the money together. And I'd like to have gone, he said, but I just couldn't get the money together and Satan hindered me. Maybe he got sick. I don't know what it was. Maybe there was a bad storm came up and the boat wouldn't... I don't know how it was, but you see what I'm saying, that here the Apostle Paul has good intentions, and evidently, obviously, it was not the will of God. I submit to that, acknowledge that. For it were the will of God, it would have been done, but God allowed Satan to hinder Paul for some reason or other, and Satan accomplished what he wanted to do, which was to hinder. In Revelation, the 12th chapter, we read in verse 10, I heard a great voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down. That's one of the words for Satan. He is the accuser. He accuses. He ridicules. He belittles. He destroys. Now, as I said, Satan uses demons. They're very powerful. I believe that there are people in this world today that maybe you and I are seeing on television, read about them in newspaper. Maybe some of them are very highly educated. Some of them very wealthy. I believe that there are people in the world today who are demon-possessed. Now, we think of people as being demon-possessed as some kind of acting in some kind of a strange, wild way. Well, some of them do. And you think that demon possession is something that's left for the very primitive tribes and the most remote areas of the jungles. Well, that's true also. But one of the things that Satan does that we don't acknowledge and are not aware of is that Satan is very successful in adapting himself to the society in which he is working. And so when you go to the very primitive societies in which they believe in witchcraft and headhunters and so on, etc., then Satan works in that kind of category. But when you come to our so-called civilized society and where you honor certain accomplishments and education is the most outstanding thing, when those things become the god of the age and society, Satan uses those kinds of people too. And so when you have a college professor that's standing in a college somewhere and denying the Word of God, denying creation, and saying to the college students that there is no such thing as a God, and that he is refusing to allow the students in that class to express their belief in the Lord, that is a demon-possessed person. I don't care how many DDDs or whatever else degree you may have after his name. You see. Or he may be a person in the pulpit somewhere that's preaching. And he may be reading out of a Bible. And may be talking good. But if he does not preach the truth about Jesus Christ as the only begotten Son of God, if he does not preach the truth about the way of salvation by the blood of Jesus Christ, by God's free and sovereign grace, then Paul says he is preaching another gospel. And he said, if I or an angel from heaven, what kind of angel is he talking about? Not one of the elect angels. He's talking about one of the demonic angels. If an angel from heaven would preach this other gospel, let him be anathema, a curse. And so we have preachers in pulpits and teachers in seminaries and professors in colleges today who are demon-possessed people in America. We have them in our politicians, among our politicians. We have them in our entertainment society. We have them, I believe, in all areas of our society wherein that people are exalting the flesh. They are being promoted and energized by Satan. And the world is flocking after them. Our young people dress like them. I see these boys running around with their hats on backwards. Now, where did anyone ever come up with that foolish notion of putting your hat on backwards? But you know, I mean, we have hats, caps. There's a purpose for a cap, is to, I guess, to keep your hair from blowing away or blowing, standing up and waving. And then there is a bill on the front of it, and that's a good purpose for it, just to keep the sun out of your eyes. But some weirdo, somewhere or another, come up with this idea of turning the thing around backwards, and so all the young men of our society, they run around with their hats turned around backwards. Why is it? Well, what it's all about, fellows, fathers, let me tell you what it's all about. It's about that everything is backwards. Isaiah talked about the time would come when we would call right wrong and wrong right. And that's where we're at in this day and age in our society. They turn the hat around backwards, and what the Bible says is right, they say is wrong. And what we, the Bible says is wrong, they say it's right. And that's what it's all about. It's satanic influence. And so the music, the dress style, and everything that's going on in our society today is all being impacted by Satan. Did you ever think you'd ever live in a day in which you'd have to tell boys to pull your britches up? I walked into a store not too long ago, sign out front. You know, you expect maybe to see a sign that says something back to hours, and maybe about the sign about the fact that no smoking. But here was a sign that said, boys, no droopy britches allowed. Now, I don't know what it is that causes people want to run around and show their rear end. I mean, I don't know, except that it's the devil. That's all the world is. What makes women want to run around, girls run around and show their bare midriff? It's Satan. That's what it's all about. Because it's all a display of the flesh. And that's what's going on. That's the kind of music our young people are being listened to. It's jungle rock out of Satan's hell. And that's the reason why we're having hell in the streets, hell in our schools, and hell in our homes. Because we're living by the hell standards. That's what it's all about, folks. That's the devil's program. And that's the reason why we having such problem in our homes and our society is because of satanic, demonic influence. And the devil tells us that we can't tell our kids it's wrong, and we can't make them turn the TV off, we can't make them do this or that, you can't make them mind, you can't discipline. No, don't do that. You might stifle their personality some way or another. My dad made a great impression on my personality, and he did it by the seat of the britches. And that's how fathers need to be doing today. You never start too young. But he not only uses demons and that kind of jungle rock, but he uses false preachers and teachers. That's what Peter is talking about when he said, beware, lest you being led away from your own steadfastness. False preachers and teachers. When you look at the religious world today, it's nothing but confusion. There is confusion about doctrine. What is right? If we want to find out, let's just look at the Bible and see what the Bible... Whoa, wait a minute. We've got a problem there. Because Satan has successfully sown questions and doubts about the Word of God. That's the very same purpose he did, method he used back in the Garden of Eden. Hath God said? And so now we have theologians and we have seminary professors that say, the Word of God has many problems in it. It's not trustworthy. And this right here is not in the original manuscripts. We've discovered some new, older manuscripts. That's a bunch of hogwash. You go to your home, to your closet, and you look in the closet, And you'll find some clothes in the closet there that you've not been wearing. I imagine all of us have that. Every now and then you have to go through and get rid of them, I know. But you found some dresses, some ties, some suits, shirts, something other that you've just not been wearing. I mean, and they actually are in good condition, probably in better condition than some of those clothes that other clothes that you got wearing. You know, my jeans, I like the old ones better than I do the new ones. And if you went to look in my closet, you'd find out that there are some of my jeans that really look bad. And that's the ones I like to wear because they've been broke in and they give where I need for them to give, if you know what I mean. And they stretch where I need for them to stretch. But them other ones, they're, you know, I've outgrown them. No, they shrunk. They shrunk. And they don't look bad. They don't look bad at all. They look good. And then there's some ties that you get, you know, fellas. Somebody got them on as a birthday present, and they didn't like them, so they passed them down to you on a birthday present. And you ladies have got some dresses and so forth. Why were they not being used? That's what I'm trying to say to you. Why were they not being used? Well, because you didn't like them. They didn't fit. You didn't like the color, and so it was kept. Well, that's the same thing true about some of these so-called, allegedly, older manuscripts. That they were lost, but now they've been found. And there is the what's called the Westcott and Hort manuscripts. And so you have the newer translations that whereby the Westcott and Hort have used these better translations, the older manuscripts, and so they give us now a better perverted, really, translation. And all the impact of it is that now everybody is saying, well, wait a minute. Can we really believe the Bible? Can we really trust the Word of God? I mean, which translation do you want to look at? Well, I'll tell you. You can just rely on and lay your head as a good standard is the old King James translation. I had a man speaking to me just a few weeks ago. He has earned degrees in language. He knows Greek and Hebrew very well. And he said, Brother Herb, I have on my library many Greek books, lexicons, and so forth. And he said, the more I study the languages, the more I understand and appreciate the work of the King James translators in giving us an accurate translation. You can trust the old King James. Now, I know that may have some words in it that may be a, you know, kind of ancient words that we have to kind of work with sometimes to apply them to our modern-day language, and we'll talk about that later on maybe, but it's the safest English translation, and it is an accurate translation. But we have preachers today who masquerade themselves as an angel of light. Ministers today on television, radio, publications, and people's minds are being confused about what is right. I talked with a man this past week. I believe he's a born-again person. I believe he's a very sincere Christian person. He, and I appreciate many things about this person. He wants to lead his family in the right way of worship and believing the truth. But they're attending a church of a denomination, and I'll not call the name of the denomination for sake of references. He's taking his family to a church of another denomination. And he said to me, I like this and like this and like this, and he was telling me some things that he was liking about that service, and I'm thinking, yeah, we do the same thing at our church, you know. But then there's some other things that are very serious issues. And he said, those things don't really bother me. And I said, yes, but what about your children? You see, that's the devil's program, to bring confusion. Well, this preacher over here, he's
I mean, he's a good man, and I like what he says, and this preacher over here, he says something a little bit different, but I mean, I like him, and what is right? Where is the truth? And I said to that man, and here's something I'll say to all of you. Truth is not diversified. There's not many colors to truth. There's not many paths. It's not broad. It's narrow. Very, very narrow. As I've said before, it's no broader than the Word of God. And the devil would have us to say, well, we need to be broad-minded about these things. We have to have an open mind about these things. And you know what happens when you open the doors of your house and leave them open? All the critters come in. And that's what happens to broad-minded and open doors in your mind. The devil uses false teachers who deceive, and there's the key word, who deceive by lies, false teachings, and miracles. Miracles. Now, the devil is a liar, the father of it, that's what the Lord called him, and everything he ever has said is a lie. Everything he's ever said is a lie. All of his preachers preach lies. All of his teachings are lies. All the religions in the world that don't preach according to the Word of God are lies. If it's not the truth, it's a lie. The 13th chapter of Acts, the apostles addressed a man and said, "Oh, full of all subtlety, all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord?" I'd like to go down the road and hang that sign, that verse of Scripture on some of the doors of a lot of the so-called churches in America today and put it over the broadcast on TV and radio. Wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of God? Paul, writing again in Ephesians, said to us, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles, craftiness, deceitfulness." Peter said there in 2 Peter chapter 2, that these people, chapter 3, that these people bring in privately, they secretly. Paul, Jude says that there are those who have crept in. They come in. The Lord said, "Beware of wolves in sheep clothing." They slide in. They come in among the people of God. And they talk like, act like sheep, but inwardly they are raving wolves. How do we discern this? By being aware. As Peter says, "Beware. Be aware." John said in 1 John, "Try the spirits whether they be of God or not." Paul said in Timothy, "The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits." That's what I'm talking about. Seducing spirits. The tragedy is that maybe some of you here today, 20 years from now, you will be so impacted, impressed, influenced by false teachings and seducing spirits. And you will say, "Oh, I know that's what Brother Hatfield, he didn't believe this. And I know my mother and father didn't believe this, but things, times have changed and conditions change and we must be more broad-minded now and those old ways they're outdated."
Well, the Bible has never become outdated. And truth is timeless. And God changes not. Many will give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy. They won't tell you now. I'll tell you I'm lying to you. Now what I'm about to tell you is a lie. No. In all hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with an iron. I think sometimes, how can a man stand before a congregation and read out of the Bible and preach and speak lies? I'm amazed. I read sometimes some books. I have some books even in my own library that I go through and I mark them and say, this is wrong. There's some parts, yes, that person might be right about, but over here they're so wrong about this. How can it be? It is because we get our conscience seared. We become hardened to tradition, to family influences, to the world, the pressures of our family. All of those things causes our conscience to become seared, and we get led away by the error of the wicked one. Paul talks about how the servant of the Lord should not strive, but in meekness instructing those that oppose himself, that they might be recovered from the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. The snare of the devil. Traps, snares. Some of them snares are visible and physical, and some of them are invisible and spiritual. You drive by a church, they have a big crowd, they've got a lot going on, you go there and get entertained, that's a snare of the devil. I appreciate those of you who drive distance to come to our congregation. I appreciate you doing it. But I will tell you also that the devil is going to constantly be trying to ensnare you by saying you could go closer to home and be more convenient for you. The tragedy of the day in America, for most part, most people go to church not because of what they hear there, but because it is convenient for them, or because they having itching ears heap to themselves teachers whereby that they might hear what they want to hear. A man just drove by a while ago, friendly man, neighbor of mine that's been very good to me, very kind to me in many different ways, and he spoke to me kindly to say a word of encouragement to me about going to church, and I invited him in, and he said, I've already been to my church. And I thought, yes, it's yours, but it's not the Lord's church. And I was being kind. I didn't say that to him, but I was being kind when I thought that. Because I know the church where he goes, and I know what's preached and taught there. Good man, kindly, good character person. But he's caught by the snare of the devil. Satan works to oppose the Lord, God, and the Holy Spirit. And he does it by using false teachers who preach and teach false doctrine. I don't want to sound and try to tell you that I don't think that I'm without any error at all. I would like to hope that I'm without any error. But I will tell you that we will examine and are open to the Word of God about all that we teach and believe and preach. And if there was any error in our doctrine of what we preach and teach here, you show it to me out of God's Word, and we will correct it, you see. Because we want to be not hypocrites, but we want hope to be honest and truthful with the Word of God. But it is not just my responsibility, It is your responsibility to examine everything that is preached and taught by thus saith the Word of God. And that's how we guard ourselves from being led astray by the error of the wicked one. That we constantly are examining ourselves personally, individually. I'm not going to tell you all about the details of this issue that I have been involved with probably for about the last 3 weeks. But it's the issue about the very deity of Jesus Christ. A very serious issue, which I have been discussing it by means of internet emails with some people. But I did it, engaged in it, because I wanted to be sure that I was honest and truthful about the Word of God. And I was willing to have my beliefs and my truth examined by them in the light of God's Word. And you show me where I am wrong in the light of God's Word, and I will also try to show you where I think you're wrong. Well, I will tell you that there was no converting on either part, but I honestly was made and did try to look at what I believe the Bible said about that subject. I looked at history. I looked at some old doctrinal historical confessions of faith. But more importantly, I looked at what does God say in His Word, and that's the final authority about everything. But I'm just sharing that with you to tell you that I do, and I admonish you to constantly examine everything that we believe in the light of God's Word. And when you are talking to people about Christianity and about what they believe, say to them, what does God's Word say about that? Show me that in the Word of God, and I will believe it. There's no need to argue. There's no need to debate. Just simply take the Word of God and say, what does God say in His Word about it? And you ought to be able to take the Word of God and support what you believe the Bible teaches. That's the responsibility of all of us. And that's how Satan leads people astray from the error of their own steadfastness. Peter said, 2 Peter 3, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We will have more to say on that. But may I just close for today to point out to us that the way that we guard ourselves against being led astray by the wicked one is that we grow. There are spiritual rules about how we can grow spiritually. If your children are not growing physically, you'll take them to a doctor. If you are not growing spiritually, you need to go to the great physician and bow at His feet and ask Him to help you to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, lest we all, or lest you, or we individually, be led astray from the error of the wicked one. May the Lord help us to lay hold upon this admonition to beware. Our Father, we come to You this morning.